In 1901, at Spindletop Hill near Beaumont, the future of Texas changed dramatically as, like a fountain of fortune, thousands of barrels of oil burst from the earth towards the sky. Soon, Detroit would be cranking out Model Ts by the millions, and America was on the move, thanks to the black gold being produced in Texas. Now, more than a century later, the vehicles are different, but nothing else has truly changed. Sure, there may be many other alternative energy sources like wind and solar and electric. But let's be honest, America depends on oil and entrepreneurs. And if the USA is truly going to be independent, it has to know the crude truth.
NAEP is a proud sponsor of the Crude Truth. Be sure to register for the NAEP Expo 2024, February 7th through the 9th at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Hurry and register today. NAEP, where deals happen.
This episode is brought to you by LFS Chemistry, committed to being good stewards of the environment and providing the tools so you can be too. NAEP Expo, where deals happen. Air Compressor Solutions. When everything is on the line, Air Compressor Solutions is the dependable choice to keep commercial business powered up. Sandstone Group. Exec Crew. Elevate your network, elevate your knowledge. Oil and Gas Workers Association. Pecos Country Operating. Fueling our future.
Back in day 2024, as this awesome expo continues, I am here right now with the one, the only, Ryan Walker. Ryan, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me here. This is great. Good to be at my first NAEP.
Ryan, you told me that. I didn't know this was your first NAEP. Let's talk a little bit about you, and then I'll tell you why I was surprised this was your first NAEP.
First NAEP.
Who are you, and who do you work with?
Yeah, no, again, thanks for having me. So Ryan Walker, I'm with Shoemaker Advisors. Shoemaker Advisors were a bipartisan lobbying firm. We're part of a larger law firm, Shoemaker Lipton Kendrick, which is headquartered in Ohio, but we have offices in 4 or 5 different states. Basically, for 3 years ago, I was the one that they came to and said, "Hey, look, can you start our on the ground Washington operation?" And since then, I've added 2 great people. One a longtime friend and now business partner, Jason Wiemely and Chris Salemi. So we cover both sides of the political aisle, and we're very passionate about the oil and gas industry. And prior to coming to Shoemaker Advisors, I spent 14 years on Capitol Hill. I was chief of staff for Congressman Bob Latta for 8 years. And then after leaving Capitol Hill, I was an in-house lobbyist for BP for 5 years.
And that's really the main reason, because you've been fighting the good fight for oil and gas for years. So first of all, you don't look like it, okay? I tell you what.
There's a lot of gray up here, yeah.
And that's why I was surprised this was your first NAEP. But, let's talk about it. Here we are. How's the energy been, and what are you feeling out here?
Like I said, I didn't know what to expect walking through the doors, but my first NAEP has been exceptional. The amount of energy that was in the room yesterday here, and we had just talked, and you said that it was, it's been shorter, it's been truncated this year. So I definitely think the energy yesterday, it heartened me, right? Like it said to me, like, this is not a dying industry.
Yeah.
This is not an energy, or this is not an industry in transition. This is an industry that's alive and well.
Yeah.
And it is just fantastic.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I mean, on all accounts there, the way the energy has been, it's like, I had some other first timers that are now in the oil and gas industry say, "Oh my God, the energy here, everybody's so excited. The optimism that they all have is just so exciting, that I think 2024 is going to be an epic year for the oil and gas industry."
I agree with you.
Speaking of, let's dive into a little bit here. I've had on some great lobbyists before. I've had on some Congress individuals, some of the railroad commissioners, and they're all fighting the good fight for the oil and gas industry, but not only for the industry, but more importantly for job security and for economic security. Okay. Those are, in my opinion, the two most biggest parts that the oil and gas industry provides.
Yeah.
Jobs and economic stability for the United States. What are you guys up to up there in Washington, D.C. right now?
So look, we're up there, as you said, we try and fight the good fight, but we also fight the good fight from a different perspective. So you have to appeal to essentially both sides of the aisle, right? Because it can't just take a one-sided approach. So what we're doing is, you know, we're taking, people talk about the energy transition. We talk all the time about the energy expansion. It's oil and gas, it's nuclear, it's solar, it's wind, everything, right? So we actually, there's an organization that we're running now. It's called the Methane Abatement and Flare Abatement Alliance. It is a group of oil and gas guys, also oil field service companies that are saying, look, we're tired of getting a bad rap for methane. And frankly, we don't like to burn it or vent it either, because we're just wasting money.
Yeah.
So we're forming this organization and kicking it off here. And basically it's we're going to be, well, our tagline is progress over promises.
Okay.
And there's a lot of different, you know, whether it's through the OGCI or different other organizations around the world, they say, look, we want to cut our emissions by X percent, or, you know, and there's a lot of promises out there. We aim to produce progress and real case studies for people who are in the field on the ground working on a global scale, to showcase what the oil and gas industry is doing. That you can produce the resources, that you can protect the environment, and you can protect human health.
That's huge. I didn't know that you guys were working on something like that. The methane thing is truly important. Are you guys doing anything with the carbon capture on that side as well? Or
yeah, I mean, there's a we're talking to a few companies that are very interested in the carbon capture space.
Okay.
And you know, and even the utilization, taking the CO2 and, you know, I guess refining it into whether it's beverage grade CO2 or finding other uses for that, not just permanently sequestering it.
Oh, wow. You know, you said working across the aisle or with both sides. Mm-hmm. I remember a time, and granted, I say that like as if I'm like super old, and that's crazy because I did just turn 40. But when the both sides did work together, you know, it's almost like the bureaucracy word, you know, that used to be a real thing. Now we're either too far left or too far right. Mm-hmm. What are you saying to the Democrat Party as somebody that's working on both sides or trying to work with both sides, saying, hey, oil and gas is good. What are you doing there? And how are y'all doing it?
Yeah, look, we have so Chris Salemi on who works with me at Shoemaker Advisors, he and Derek Clay, who's also another colleague, they handle kind of the Democratic side of the aisle, and we're working with them and we're working together to say, look, it's not telling fairy tales to people. It's telling them the truth. That, like, look, where are real examples of you know, the fossil fuel industry making great strides, talking about rig efficiency, in terms of reducing CO2, talking about you know, methane capture and with the Methane Abatement Flare Abatement Alliance, showing them what the industry is doing, rather than, you know, people think, oh, big oil. But it's not, it's beyond big oil. It's small and medium sized companies making a difference every day. And that's what we're telling. And look, the House Energy and Commerce Committee, where most of this happens, or the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, or Environment and Public Works Committee, at least, I mean, I was a House guy. I spent 14 years in the House. The House Energy and Commerce Committee has typically been one of the most bipartisan committees. It has oversight over, I think it's something like a fifth of the U.S. economy, from energy to healthcare to tech and telecom. My former boss, Congressman Bob Latta, who still serves on the committee, and actually even a bit of breaking news for you. Yesterday, the current chair of the committee, Kathy McMorris Rodgers from Washington, she announced that she was going to retire at the end of this Congress. And my former boss, Congressman Latta, announced that he is put his hat in the ring to chair the full House Energy and Commerce Committee.
Huge.
He's the most senior member on the committee after the current chair. She's done a fantastic job, and she's been a great asset, you know, during her 19 years in Congress.
Wow.
And I'm excited for my former boss to get an opportunity to lead this committee, because he is a real good policy wonk, and he knows the energy sector like the back of his hand.
Yeah, well, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
I want to go back, and I'm not trying to focus, but on the Democrat side, Is it mostly like West Virginia or the states that already have oil and gas that are like more willing to work with you, or is it the other guys as well that are?
No, it's the other guys as well. You look at Congressman Scott Peters from, he's actually from, I believe, the San Diego area. Mm-hmm. And he is he's a pragmatist. He gets the need for, you know, that oil and gas is a thing. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. So he wants to work with people to try and mitigate any negative effects of it. And he's willing to work with you and sit down and listen. And there are others like him. That's just one example.
Yeah, man. Well, that's awesome. You know, what are some other things that you guys, rather than the meth thing, you know, President Biden here recently did cut out the permits on the liquid natural gas exporting facilities, you know, building any new ones. You know, did you see that coming, or, you know, what were your thoughts on that?
Look, I think that's speaking from my years in DC, that was a political play on the administration's part. But because that was a political play, I don't think that there was a full understanding or realization of kind of the knock-on effects of that. Because, you know, look, LNG projects are just like any large oil and gas project. Yep. It takes a lot of time, a lot of resources to go FID on a project.
Yes.
And if you're moving in that direction and all of a sudden you have a hurdle that says, you know, it's like, don't pass go, don't collect $200, right? Yeah. It's, you know, your momentum has been halted. And I think that's going to cause, it may not affect right now or current or current kind of export terminals that are in the process, but it will, but how will that affect, you know, future ones that will come online as quickly because of this pause?
You know, you talk about it, and it is almost a play. I agree. I mean, it is a pause of anybody even trying to develop any new idea or trying to get some new stuff, at least start it off. But you figure when, you know, as he was campaigning, he goes, we're going to kill the industry. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Inflation shot up like there was no tomorrow. And he quieted the talk real quick about the oil and gas industry and really killing it. Why? Because oil and gas is really what helped suppress and bring down that inflation.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now that it's election year, all of a sudden he does this play. And it's like, here's what I'm doing. And it's almost, even though it is going to have some long-term effects, could and it have some major ones, especially if it doesn't get lifted.
Yeah.
But it's really almost like, look what grandstanding. Look what I'm doing. This way, right?
Yeah. It's playing to a certain voting block.
Yeah.
The climate voters. You know, the 35 and under voters.
Yes.
It's playing to that crowd. I mean, and it's an election year move.
You know. All right. Let's talk about that. Since you brought up the crowd and that demographic, the under 35 voters. What are you seeing? Are you seeing the demographic, like the Hispanics and the African Americans, like trend, like not voting for Biden right now, that he is truly losing the support from that base? You keep hearing it on mainstream media, on some of the mainstream media, that he's losing this base. Is that something that you've heard, or are you feel, just out of curiosity, is that something?
I think you're seeing a lot of opposition to President Biden and his administration and some of his policies from places that you wouldn't generally see. Like I just watched, I saw something yesterday where Stephen A. Smith, the sportscaster, was saying something about, you know, how there's a $53 million program to give debit cards or credit cards or prepaid debit cards to illegal immigrants, you know, and you're seeing what's happening at the southern border. So it's not just the oil and gas industry, is this kind of huge cacophony of events that is just bearing down on this administration. And, you know, people talk about the economic numbers that we have a strong economy, but people aren't feeling it because of inflation.
Yes.
I think that's a big thing. And, you know, you have good, and people talk about, well, government is dysfunctional. And I think you're seeing Congress, there are people in Congress that want to do good things and legislate. Legislating is an art, right? It's the art of the possible, and people need to understand that it's not a zero sum game. You know, you get a little, you keep moving incrementally forward.
Wow. You know, I will say this. So we're still early in the year, 2024. Where do you see the oil and gas industry going and the good fights that y'all are fighting for this year, Ryan?
Look, I think that I think the fights are just beginning. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see this industry continually be under attack. Mm-hmm. Because the other side, the folks on the far left, I mean, the keep it in the ground folks, they're not giving up anytime soon. But look, this is when I joined BP, I had a last interview before I was hired with the US CEO at the time. And I always remember this. It was literally like a 19-second interview because he was flying in and out.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I understand you want to work here. And I said, yeah. And he goes, look, we light heat and move the world by providing reliable, affordable, and abundant energy. And if you believe in that, you have a place here. And I was like, I'm in.
Awesome. I'm in.
That to me has stuck with me because that's what the oil and gas industry does. Mm-hmm. It does that. It lifts people out of poverty. It provides people good opportunities for their family. It's good paying jobs. And I think that in the long term, but the fight isn't over. And that's what people in this industry need to understand and come together on.
Yeah.
You know, there are organizations, the trades, the APIs, the AXPCs, and others. And, you know, there are folks like us at Shoemaker Advisors who help companies navigate just the often confusing and time consuming efforts at the federal and state levels.
Yeah.
So I think that, but we need to gird ourselves for the continued fight, and we can't take a day off.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, you know, for those out there that may need a good fight, and somebody helps them out, how can they reach out to you guys?
Yeah, people can touch base with me on LinkedIn, and people can, you know, they can reach me at rwalker@shoemakeradvisors.com. Or at shoemaker.com, they can find my bio on our firm's website.
Well, Ryan, I want to do one thing. I want to say thank you to JP Warren
for
making this introduction. And with Exec Crew, one of the proud sponsors of the Crew Truth. And I've really enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to a lot more. And we're going to discuss a lot more off of air. But I'm just so excited. And everybody out there, if you didn't get a chance to check out the NAPE Expo 2024, be sure to check out next year's NAPE Expo 2025. And we'll see you again on another episode of The Crude Truth.
Again, thank you to our sponsors, LFS Chemistry, NAPE Expo, Air Compressor Solutions, Exec Crew, Oil and Gas Workers Association, Pecos Country Operating.
The easiest way to start your own podcast and TV show? Real News Communications Network. Stand out from your competition. Produce streams of high-quality social media content. Become a thought leader in your industry. With RNCN, you get to be the host. We handle everything else. Tour one of our three locations in Dallas, Fort Worth, and the Colony. Call 972-402-6333 or visit launchashow.com to find out more.